Hey gang, are you a fan of podcasts and Law & Order SVU? Well, I have the show for you. The seminal SVU podcast, Munch My Benson, is the twisted love child of co-hosts Adam Schwitters and Josh Dugan, celebrating the splendid and often wildly inappropriate lunacy found only on Law & Order SVU. Each week, Adam and Josh walk you through a random episode of SVU, all while sharing their smart and hilarious insight. Find Munch My Benson wherever it is you stream your podcast, or go to munchmybenson.com for more info. That's Munch My Benson.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time. How did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Johnny.
When we talk. All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week. I hope you're healthy and you're sane. Stuff is opening back up. Are you getting back out there? Are you doing stuff? Are you handling it responsibly? I've been doing stuff. Yeah, this week, my girlfriend and her mom came up to Dripping Springs to do some climbing. I went to dinner with them on Tuesday night at a place. And I sat down at a table at a place. And a waiter guy came up and took my order. And I gave it to him and he brought back food. It's a thing I haven't done in a long time, to sit at a restaurant and eat. I don't think any of us have for a long time. So that was interesting. It was good. It was on a patio. It felt safe. I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to start trying doing stuff, right? Today I got back on the trail. It's been 2 months since I've been on the trail. That's outside my apartments. So it goes around Lady Bird Lake in downtown Austin. Gorgeous trail. It's something that I've cherished. I've never not gone 2 months with, you know, not walking on that trail. I love that trail. Anyway, it was great to get back on there today. You know, offers are coming in for Skyrocket. They're like, hey, you guys want to come out and play in June? Yeah. Yeah, we'll come in out and play a half-filled place in June. I mean, we got to start trying to do stuff, I guess. And I guess we got to do it as safely as possible. And as long as everyone's responsible getting involved, maybe we can pull this off. Maybe we can get back to some semblance of a normal life, which we haven't seen in 2 months. I mean, 2 months of no normal life is fucking nuts. And also, you know, I know the government's giving out money and they're helping people. We're benefiting from this. And that's great, man. But that money comes from somewhere. And we got to start putting some money back in by doing stuff. And while I'm very safe, I have been in my home, minimized my movement, so as not to spread the disease if I have it. Not, you know what I mean? Just to, or virus, to stay, you know, staying home. I've done that for 2 months. Now I am going to start getting out, not irresponsibly or anything, but not every 5 minutes. But I'm going to do a little more. I actually need to go get a haircut at some point, because now my hair is in a point where I've just got a bandana on all the time. I started the bandana thing on Monday and I haven't stopped since. So I'm going with the bandana thing, and unless I'm going to become the lead singer of the Bodines anytime soon, I need to get a haircut and go back to a bandana-less head. Bandana-less head. Anyway, another thing is I'm thinking about either inviting somebody over or going to someone's place and doing the podcast. And like, hey, just bring your own mic if that makes you feel better. Bring your own, you know what I mean? We can do it with, you can bring your own mic. You know, we can meet outside at your house, plug in my machine, sit in your driveway, do this podcast. You know, I'm getting tired of doing them over Zoom. Although, doing these podcasts over Zoom over the last couple of months has allowed me to talk to some people that are not in Austin, including today's guest, a gentleman named Matt Berry that goes under the musical name Marble Empire. He lives in the UK, and he reached out to me a few weeks ago and was like, hey, I've heard your podcast. This is my music. I'd love to be on it. Are you into it? So I checked out his music. The guy's brilliant, man. He's a great producer. He's a great songwriter. Turns out he's a multi-instrumentalist that plays, amazing guitar player, apparently a great drummer, great keyboard player, but also just a great songwriter and great producer. You can find him at marbleempire.me, okay? Marbleempire.me. He's got a brand new single out called Took My Chances, featuring this guy Albert Gold on vocals. Absolutely fantastic. He's got some music out. He's got a brand new single dropping next Wednesday. May 27th. It'll be available everywhere. As I said, go to marbleempire.me. Anyway, Matt and I have a great conversation, man. What a really great, really smart dude. Very engaging dude. I had a great conversation with him. I felt like we connected right away. And he's a really talented musician. He's got a lot of plays on a few of his songs on Spotify, which is good. I hope that maybe he'll get some more out of this podcast. So I guess, without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with my guest today. His name is Matt Berry, all the way from the UK. He goes under the name Marble Empire. Find him at marbleempire.me and enjoy my conversation with this fabulous dude, Matt Berry from Marble Empire. Let's get down.
The devil's got me running circles to you lately. Lately, I've been running through the trees, fucking swinging from the leaves to your brain. So you don't think it's a waste of your time. No, I'm not holding you back. I'm just getting you back.
Where are you?
I'm just northwest of London.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're in, I thought you were in New York.
No. I'm in the UK.
You're in the UK.
Yeah.
So, man, how are you holding up during this time? Let's start there.
Yeah. Okay. To be honest, I'm quite lucky. I'm in an all right situation. I'm with my mum, with my brother and my girlfriend. I'm just staying at our family house. So it's okay. We're quite far out of the city. So yeah, it's quite nice. I've got a garden, I've got space. So yeah, it could be worse. There's people in a lot worse situations, I think.
Do you do a lot of recording on your own? It sounds like you do.
Yeah. I do all the writing and production and recording myself.
Have you found this time to be a little difficult to sort of like be creative, the most creative version of yourself you can be when you have this like anxiety going through you?
Yeah, I think it has been harder to be creative, but I think it's been easier to focus on the more kind of like admin type things that you usually put off.
Yeah. I actually, I moderated a panel of managers when this kind of started about pivoting and figuring out what to do with your energy at this point. And one of the things was this is a great time to do, register your songs, everything.
Yeah, exactly. I've been like creating a lot of content for my social media and keeping that really up to date, which is something I'm usually pretty bad at. So
yeah,
I've been focusing more on that side of things.
Yeah. So Matt, man, your latest single is called "Took My Chances." Amazing song.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for reaching out too. How did you hear about the show?
I mean, I heard about you a while ago and listened to a couple of episodes of the podcast at the time, and then kind of didn't listen for a while until recently. I listened to some of the podcast with Angel M.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
You guys should get together and do something.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. She's really interesting. Really interesting. I just found it through Instagram, to be honest.
Cool,
and
man.
Yeah. And thought may as well reach out and see, you know, if you wanted to have a talk.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I'm really glad you did. That's a pleasant surprise. I get sometimes some unsolicited sort of like, oh, hey, check this out. And you're like, oh my God, dude, you are terrible. And so, so it was great. It was great to hear yourself. Anyway, this song "Took My Chances." How did you record that song?
Yeah. So I recorded that kind of last year when I was living in London. So I recorded all the parts just in my London flat. I've got pretty smallish kind of studio set up. Sung on it, and then obviously it's featuring my friend Albert Gold. I thought, like, you know, this song could really use like a different kind of style of vocal on it, and so, you know, I called up Albert and I said, get involved on the track.
You did an EP, the Marble Empire and Friends, where you had some really great people guest on your thing.
That was a couple of years ago now, and that was really just, it was just a lot of fun, to be honest. It was just me getting together and writing songs with all my friends. I think I always had this idea for an EP, all with collaborations, and so that was really the idea behind it.
Yeah. That's a great. How did you do those? I mean, you record your stuff in your flat, like that's.
Yeah, pretty much. It's always just been me. That's kind of always been part of the idea with the project, is just kind of do it all myself.
Yeah,
pretty much. So yeah.
Do you find it? Are there limitations to that?
I think so there's limitations in terms of the mixing. So Marble Empire and Friends, that EP, I mixed that all myself, but that was the last one that I mixed myself. Since then, like, we took my chances, and the other singles, I've been sending those off to studios to get them mixed, because I think it just adds, like, you know, another dimension to it if it's been mixed professionally.
Right. Yeah. 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 Well, also sometimes, like, I mean, I'm a musician as well. Yeah. And I have a studio set up. If I move my thing, I'm kind of sitting in the middle of it. But I've done records with no input from others, and I find that fun. But then I also cherish an outside opinion or a collaborator on a project, as in the form of a producer or you know,
yeah, like
someone to kind of tell me that I'm going the wrong direction.
Like a fresh pair of ears, yeah, it always helps. Yeah, it always helps.
How old are you?
I'm 23 at the moment. I'm 24 on Sunday.
Oh, really? Well, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. What are you going to do for your birthday? Celebrate there with your family?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do at the moment. Yeah, probably just get Indian takeaway or something like that, because yeah. there's a few takeout places around here which are open. So something like that. Sit in the garden, drink a beer, something like that.
Nice. I noticed you drink a Budweiser Tall Boy.
Yeah,
that's the way to go, my man.
I thought it's been a long day. Figured I'd have a beer.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Oh, that's why I said 1:30 p.m. your time, because I thought you were in New York. Why did I think that?
I mean, I originally said to you, are you Eastern Sea Time? Are you EST? Because I assumed you might be.
That's why.
Yeah,
I
it's just okay. Yeah, just so I could align the times. Yeah.
What's the scene like there for you? Like, you're a pop artist. Like, I live in Austin, and Austin, I don't know what you know about it, but it has a thriving music scene. But pop music is not what is happening here.
Yeah, Austin, is that where they have South by Southwest?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
unfortunately canceled this year, like all the other festivals.
Yeah, that was the first one to go. I remember when the bummer was our friends at work there lost their jobs. Like, that was the big news. We didn't realize we were all going to be in the same boat in a couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
So as far as like a scene and like being able to play out, obviously, how do you know these people you collaborated with? Are they people that you hang out with and have beers with at places or go see or something?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a massive mix. So some of them I know through playing gigs and meeting them there. Other ones I know, well, one of the girls, actually, Natalie Green, who sings on Throwaway, we went to primary school together. So
Where
you go, like, when you're a child.
Yeah.
So that's quite funny. It's a real mix, to be honest. In terms of the scene here, yeah, I mean, it's great. It's probably like New York, or maybe like Austin in some ways, because there's always something to go and see. Like, it's live all the time. But in terms of the style of music, really varied, to be honest.
Yeah. And do you play live a lot?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've got a live setup, which is me singing, playing guitar, and I've got a guy playing keys, and he sings as well, and then drums, and then the rest of it is all kind of backing track.
Right.
Like as soon as I started the project, I always wanted there to be a live element.
That's the thing about. I mean, I guess it's changed now with all of these new. Insane digital boards that people have live, but that's always the part that I've found challenging for a pop artist is to pop seems like it doesn't have like a lower or middle class to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you either are playing on a giant stage with the most sophisticated equipment so that nobody gets off the fucking tracks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's happening, but you don't have in-ears at like the pub.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how is that a difficult thing to do on a small scale?
That's a really interesting point. It's a good question because, yeah, it actually is really hard because I have a setup where there is quite a lot of electronic equipment on stage and we have in-ears and stuff. But you're right, just for playing a small club gig or a small pub, it's a lot of stuff to take and set up.
Yeah.
Each time. And it's funny, like, obviously, the more stuff you have on stage, the more stuff goes wrong.
Yeah.
And something always does.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's why, during this pandemic time and people have been live streaming and shit like that, yeah. I've done a couple and there's some people that call me and they're like, man, what are you using? Sounds great. And I'm like, dude, I'm putting my phone on a little stand and I'm just using a guitar, acoustic guitar, and singing. Like, I'm taking everything in between out of it.
Yeah, of course, phones are so good these days.
Yeah.
Such high quality.
Yeah. Phones are almost as good as, like, regular microphones at this point.
Yeah, it's funny, because I was recording some content for my social media the other day. So I was recording it on my phone, but then also set up a microphone to record it into Logic. But I ended up using the audio from the phone that the phone recorded, because it was that good.
That's what I find. I also find that, like, the way that you're doing this, the earbuds are the best route for these Zoom chats that I've been having.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about setting up a microphone and headphones and stuff, but in the end,
I'm glad you didn't. Yeah,
yeah, this is the easiest setup. Yeah,
and really, like, sometimes the best way from, like, easiest, you know, straight line is usually the best way to get from point A to point B. That was the worst sentence I've ever constructed. So you do play out. How often do you play out?
Not as much as I'd like to be honest. Last year I only played a handful of shows, really. I'd like to play more. I think what I find about the London music scene is that there kind of isn't really a middle class in it.
Yeah.
There's definitely, like, a low class where, and it's quite easy to find gigs which are kind of like put on by promoters who aren't really the best and will just put any band with any band and they don't bother promoting it. Then there's not really any middle ground. Then there's just kind of like you need to have a booking agent for the next step.
Where are you at with that?
I don't have a booking agent or anything. I used to have a manager that I worked with, but things kind of fizzled out a bit with us. But we're still friends, obviously. So it's kind of just me, to be honest, at the moment.
Sometimes that sort of like... I find that works with some people, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of but I mean, at this point, you're responsible for everything then. Like you, you write, really record, perform, manage, book.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a job?
I have a job as well. Yeah. I work in like data and analytics.
Oh, okay. So have you been able to stay working through this time, right?
I have, luckily, I'm working from home, yeah.
That's great. You're lucky.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I'm in a good situation, 100%.
Yeah. All right, man, so let's go back. So where were you born?
I was born in North London.
Okay.
North London.
What's that area like?
It's okay. Some parts are really nice, but the part that I was born in was not that nice. But I didn't grow up there. I grew up here where I am now in a county called Buckinghamshire, and it's a bit further outside of London. It's kind of like suburbs.
Uh-huh.
And it's nice.
So what did your parents do?
My mum works in HR, in human resources.
Okay.
And my dad is an engineer.
Okay. Are they still working? Still
working, yeah. Well, my dad has worked overseas for a long time. He works in Kazakhstan, places. Yeah, he works there in oil. So he's always kind of been over there doing that thing for most of my life, pretty much.
You got siblings?
Yeah, younger brother.
Okay. So how did you find music? How did music find you?
It's kind of just like, it was kind of a natural process, to be honest. I started playing guitar when I was a child.
Can I ask you real quick, did you ask for the guitar or did they say you're going to take guitar lessons?
I mean, it was kind of like I had to learn an instrument. I had to learn one instrument and I said, I'll do the guitar. Right. Yeah.
But why guitar?
I don't know. I probably thought it was cool at the time. I don't know. I think I know why. It's because my dad and my mum are really into Bon Jovi. And I thought, yeah, I'll be like that.
How do you guys, this is one of the things that's always blown my mind. Whenever I go over there, I find that Bon Jovi is 10 times bigger in UK than he is in the States.
Yeah, people do love him over here. That's true.
What did he do to you guys?
not sure, some kind of magic.
All right, so they were into Bon Jovi. Were you into Bon Jovi?
I was as a child, yeah, for sure. I'm in still now, you know, I haven't stopped liking John.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
I met him once.
Oh, really? Matt. What's he like?
He was ready to leave a party, and I had been staring at him all night from across the room in this weird way.
Yeah.
And then I walked up to him when I saw him get his jacket and kind of look for Richie, who was with him, who was very nice.
Yeah.
This was like year 2000. I had made a record with this guy Jack Joseph Puig mixed it, and my band was in Los Angeles looking to meet managers, and Jack threw a party for us, and he was in the process of mixing It's My Life.
Sure.
And wow. So they were there, and so they were at the party. But cool. When I went up to the Jovi to announce that I wanted to talk to him, I said, hey, John, I'm Johnny. And he said, yeah, I know. And he just turned around and walked away.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think he really knew I was Johnny.
No.
But I think he just wanted to. That's the other thing is, like, you know that feeling of, like, I hate to get off the subject, but we'll get back to your thing. You ever notice how, like, sometimes, like, I could walk away and just be like, Bon Jovi's an asshole. But, like, another thing is, like, what if Bon Jovi had to poop?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's just like, dude, I gotta get to the hotel. I cannot do this at a party. You know what I mean? People forget that.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So your parents are listening to Bon Jovi, you get a guitar, and you took lessons?
Yeah, and I took lessons. I mean, what I got when I got my guitar first, it was just a classical guitar. So I learned classical guitar for a few years. I guess it's quite funny because I expected to be as cool as John Bon Jovi and the rest of the band and have the electric guitar, play all the solos. But in the end, I just had a classical guitar.
Oh.
And so I learned that for a bit.
Did you? What were you learning? You were learning classical guitar?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, exactly.
That's also not real inspiring because you can't, you know.
Yeah. It wasn't that inspiring. But looking back on it, it was good because... because it meant the way that I started learning music was like from a theory-based classical context,
right,
which I think
really
helped me out in the future, is having that grounding.
Right. Can you still do it? Because I know that's something you really got to keep up with. I have a real close friend that like left rock music to just be a fucking flamenco guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a skill you really have to maintain if you want to keep good at it, like reading music and sight reading and stuff. I can still read music, but I mean, I don't put the theory into practice that much these days, apart from working out what key I'm in when I'm learning a song or something. Yeah.
Also, like, you got to keep up with those nails.
Yeah, I think it was probably the nails that turned me off.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
Especially when I reached secondary school when I was 11 and there was more girls around. And I became interested in girls. Probably thought, yeah, it's time to ditch the nails, ditch the classical guitar.
So what were you listening to during that classical guitar time? Were you listening to like Andre Segovia or shit? Or were you listening to like Lady Gaga?
Yeah, I mean, I was really into Busted and McFly around that time.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I was big into them. And yeah, I mean, the time when I was playing classical guitar, I was really young. It was when I was about 8 to when I was about 11, 10 or 11. So the kind of music I listened to a lot of the time was whatever CDs we had in the house. So like Michael Jackson, Earth, Wind & Fire, Bon Jovi, of course.
Sorry. It just still baffles me. I remember picking up a Q magazine there and going like, what is with these people and Bon Jovi? Like, because it was at a point in the 90s, like when Bon Jovi didn't have anything, like no one even spoke that word anymore, you know, for a while. All right, so you listen to that stuff. At 11, you ditched the classical, and what'd you do?
Picked up the electric guitar, immediate upgrade.
Yeah, what'd you get? Was it a good one, or was it, what kind of guitar?
No, it was a Yamaha Pacifica.
Oh, yeah. That's a famous first guitar.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the one that everyone gets. And the first song that I learned on it, Smoke on the Water. I was like, I just fulfilled every cliche of a guy starting playing electric guitar.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Did the guy who taught you it, did you figure it out yourself? Oh, you could figure it out yourself by that point.
Yeah, I figured out myself a little bit, kept up the lessons. Kind of shortly following that, I started to play piano as well.
Okay.
So I got into that. And then, yeah, then I started my first band when I was about 13. And we didn't have a drummer. Yeah, we didn't have a drummer, so I learned drums and then started doing that.
How are you? Were your parents just totally supportive of this? Were they like, all right, man, maybe we got a little Bon Jovi?
Exactly. No, they loved it. They were always really, really supportive. I was lucky.
Are they young? How old are they?
Well, now they're, my dad's 60 and my mum's mid-50s, 56,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think. That's bad, isn't it? You always forget.
Yeah, it's weird. It gets weirder as you get older, too. Because, like, now I'm older than I remember my dad. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So what was the band called?
We're called Isolation.
And what were you playing?
It was a bit like Enter Shikari, that kind of sound.
Okay.
Enter Shikari kind of meets, it was quite pop punky as well, some of it, kind of like All Time Low, Panic at the Disco, that kind
of
sound.
Sure.
Yeah, and we were okay. I think we were pretty good for our age and for our experience.
What did you at any point then had it kind of had the dream taken hold yet? Like, this is what I want to do?
100%. When I started that band, that's what I knew I wanted to pursue in some capacity anyway.
What kind of student were you at that time? Did the grades start dropping or anything, or did you?
Yeah, funnily enough, they did go down a little bit. Yeah. I was never a really naughty kid, but I definitely like did some bad stuff. I think with me, I stopped paying as much attention to school. Like, I'd truant from class and
stuff to do.
I've got dreams to make.
I was there, man. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, I got dudes I got to talk to about. We got to talk about our big concert coming up at, like, Cheryl's house in her backyard. What kind 100%. Of gigs? Did you guys play gigs?
Yeah, we did. We did pretty well in getting gigs. We played a lot in our local area. We played a few in London. We were even signed to a record label.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah, for like a year before the record label just lost all their money and went bankrupt.
Did you put out a record during that time?
We put out a few singles. That's what it was.
Is that available somewhere? Shit, I wish I would have heard that before we did the thing. I could have given you some shit, probably.
It'd be difficult to find them. You know what? I'll send you a link after if you want to have a listen.
I'd be curious to hear it, man, because it's funny, you know. I'm 51, so, and I came up early. Like, my first band I had when I was 14. I'm so glad there was no fucking SoundCloud or a record of what we did, except for, like, some cute pictures. you know? Other than that, like, I can only imagine how horrible it would be to know that everyone could access that and listen to it whenever they want.
Yeah. I mean, there was some, like, truly, truly terrible recordings, which I purged from the internet, but there were some after that which were a little bit better.
Well, also, like, not every... How old are you, like, 15, 16?
Yeah, about 14, 15.
Yeah. What are you singing about?
Oh, God. Yeah, the lyrics. Honestly, most of them don't make sense. But it's funny because I think we're either quite mature for our age or, like, trying really hard to be mature, because we try to tackle some big topics like war, the
environment. Yeah, of course you do. Of course.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then listen back to it, it's just a bunch of kids singing about these topics.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea about it.
That's so funny, because I was talking to someone a couple of months ago and I was like, man, you know, the last political song I wrote, I was 20. And it's only like when you get a little bit older, you're like, I don't know enough about this shit to be running around telling people what to think.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. But I think some bands try and tackle those issues and really nail it, but I think they're rare. It's rare.
So, Matt, at this point, you're like a multi-instrumentalist, like a 15-year-old multi-instrumentalist. Can I ask you a quick aside question?
Sure.
So as a drummer, who was your favorite drummer at the time? Like, who did you look up to?
Benny Greb.
Who's that?
So he's a German like clinic musician. So he just does like drum clinics basically and does like solo performances and stuff. He plays in a band as well, but he's just amazing. I think what I liked about him so much is I'm not really into solos and I don't really like drum solos, guitar solos, not really for me. But what I really liked about him is he plays really technically and really impressively, but with such a groove.
That's always the thing.
That's the thing, yeah. And like I've kind of always been like that, really. I'm happy just to kind of sit there and just like groove on something.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. So as a keyboard player, who was your idol?
I don't know. I don't think I had one, to be honest. I mean, when I started off playing piano, I was learning classical music, so Chopin and Debussy, people like that.
Right. But it wasn't like Rick Wakeman from Yes or something.
No, nothing like that. I think piano and keys has always been like a side instrument for me. Like guitar and drums are like my main ones.
Okay.
But then since getting into electronic music a bit later on, and producing it, so happy that I could play keys. Makes a big difference when you're producing.
A huge difference, yeah. So is that you wailing on the guitar on some of those songs?
Yeah, that's me, yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude, parts. Man, you're great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. That's really
so
kind.
Who was your, who like, so as far as guitar at that time, who were you looking up to?
Yeah, I mean, so during that time, I got really into metal when I was kind of 14, 15. A lot of Slipknot, Bullet for My Valentine.
Yeah.
Who else? But I was really into like really, really heavy metal. Like I kind of went past the emo phase. I listened to like Whitechapel, Trigger the Bloodshed, like death metal bands.
I don't even know those bands. Now I'm actually 51 years old.
Yeah, like kind of quite obscure death metal bands. People like, yeah, Behemoth and lots of like Nordic black metal bands and stuff like that, which is pretty heavy for a 14-year-old kid. So yeah, that was kind of me at that time.
It's not even like Metallica or something. Is it Rammstein?
Yeah, I was never really into Rammstein. Not really my thing.
I watched a thing of theirs the other day, like a concert, because I'd heard their name and I've seen the shirts, you know?
Yeah.
So during this pandemic, I'm doing a lot of YouTube like rabbit hole stuff, and I went into
Discovery.
Yeah, and so I was like, I've never heard these guys, and I couldn't even make it through a whole song.
You're not into it.
No, there's something about that it doesn't resonate with me. I like what you do.
Yeah.
I like to sing songs.
Yeah.
Know? I like, you know, the metal thing. I feel like, and tell me if this was like when you were into that metal, when you were that age, there was no pretty girls hanging out listening to that stuff with you. It was just other smelly dudes.
Yeah, a lot of the time. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and at when I was that age, I was also faced with the same like, hey, are you gonna be into Rush? Are you gonna be into Duran Duran?
You sure?
There's
yeah.
no chicks. Hanging out listening to Rush.
Yeah.
it was all chicks sitting around listening to Duran Duran. So, I mean, I liked the music better and I was attracted to it, but there is this sort of like, it's interesting though to go from that music that doesn't have really a melody isn't what drives that music.
Yeah.
To a very, very like rhythmically,
yeah,
melodic sound.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's an interesting transition, and I think that there is still some kind of bearing that it has on the music. Like what I like try and get out of my music these days is a real like mashup of different genres and different styles in one. You got like the pop element, the electronic element, some like rocky guitar riffs in there, and I think that comes from the fact that I was always into lots of different types of music. Metal being one of them, so really going from extreme to extreme, metal to jazz to like Latin music, and yeah.
So what did you do, what happened after Isolation? How long did that go on?
So I love this, I love doing this timeline, this is great. I love talking about, yeah, like planning it out in my head. I've forgotten some of this, it's bringing up memories. So Isolation ended when I was 16.
The record label folded.
It folded. Yeah. It was bankrupt. We didn't really get much out of it anyway. It was all kind of a bit silly looking back on it. And then following that, yeah, I mean, we broke the band up because we kind of all went off to different schools because we're 16. So at 16, you start like you don't have to start a new school in the UK, but a lot of people go off to what we call college for two years.
Right.
So we kind of went our separate ways. And then following that, my music taste kind of started to change, really. Less metal, got more into kind of indie rock bands. So I was into like Peace, Foals, Bombay Bicycle Club, people like that.
Yeah.
So it started to take like a different turn in terms of my music taste. And then I guess when I was about 17 or 18, that's when I got into electronic music. I guess when I started going out to clubs and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that stuff changes your perspective.
Yeah, it does. I think you're right. And I think your music taste will always change with the events that happen in your life and the perspective that you have. I think it really goes hand in hand, especially when you're young and growing up. For sure.
So that's when you embarked on this Marble Empire thing around then?
Yeah. So I was 18 and it was when I went to university. I went to uni to study and I studied electronic music production. So I got the chance to study it, which is quite cool. And yeah, like a few months into uni, I decided that, yeah, it's time to take matters into my own hands.
Yeah.
I wanted to like start producing my own stuff and writing and putting out there. And at the same time, I decided, yeah, I'd quite like to sing on the tracks as well. So I've never been like the most amazing singer, but I think like just wanting to do it all myself, I just tried to get better in that area and have my vocals.
Well, what I like about it is that your delivery isn't overbearing. You're not letting everyone know every note you can hit in a song, which happens sometimes in pop music. What you do though is you definitely, in a Frank Sinatra way, take on the character as a singer and deliver this song in your own style, but staying very true to the melody that's happening, which I really like. And
thank
I think
you,
makes it makes fine. It very it makes it almost easier for the listener to sing along with, you know.
Cool.
Which is what you want in pop music.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. Yeah, that's really nice to say. And I agree. I think the main thing for me about the songs that I write now, it's not about one particular element. Like because I write all of it myself and record all of it, it's kind of like it's more about the overall sound of the song and how well everything fits together.
Yeah.
More than just, oh yeah, I'm the guitarist, so I'm gonna shred over all of it or whatever.
Yeah. You look at it like a producer and everything that you do in there serves a song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I'm primarily a producer and secondarily an artist, I would say.
Yeah. How prolific are you as a writer? I mean, are you a guy that has like a regimen, like get up and write every day or?
No, nothing like. I mean, I kind of write when inspiration comes and it depends what I'm working on. Like if I'm working on writing and producing a song for someone else, I'll be pretty regimented with it and I'll be strict with myself and dedicate a lot of time to it. But with my own stuff, I write in spurts, to be honest. Like I'll write a whole EP in a month and then do nothing for 2 months.
That's a lot of people are like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, you can't maintain creativity the whole time. It's exhausting.
Yeah, I'm of the belief that everyone's different too. You know. I'm good friends with a guy that literally writes a song every single day, 7 days a week, and has since 2000, since the year 2000. I mean, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and how about you? What are you like, the creative?
I go through spurts where I am super diligent about what I'm doing. When I'm writing with other people, you know, I try to bring all the great ideas, but I find myself, I do these things where there's these songwriting games that I become part of where you get a title and you get a finite amount of time to write a song that title has to be in that lyric somewhere. And you turn it in and a bunch of people, what ends up happening though, is like a year later, everyone puts out records and all of your friends have this exact same name song on their, on their record.
Yeah.
But I find that when I'm stuck in something, getting in one of those games or starting one of those games with my friends and kind of having the accountability, like, oh, I have this song due day after tomorrow, or I've got this song due in a couple hours. I got to write and record it. But, But having that helps me kind of kickstart. And then basically, I've kind of always worked where if I'm writing for something, I'm writing all the time. And if I'm not, I'm not writing all the time. I'm writing here and there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it's the same with me. What I find consistently, though, throughout every song I do is that if I don't get the whole structure down pretty quick, I'll just ditch it. So what I generally do when I write is I'll get down the entire structure of the song, all the chords, all the sections, and then just record vocals and chords. And that's how every song starts. And from there, I'll just go back every now and then and like work on parts of it. Whereas if I just do one section, I mean, I've got like hundreds and hundreds of Ableton projects with just sections, you know, an intro or a chorus.
Yeah.
And it's a waste of time because they never get finished.
Yeah, I have the tendency to because I came up when home recording just became a thing with like 4-track cassette, you know?
Yeah.
And I had one of those early on and could kind of define, kind of outline a record, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
What's that? You know, whatever.
And it makes a big difference creatively, I think, if you know what the end goal might sound like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it helps like rebuild the track around it for sure.
So so Matt, what are you gonna do like what's your plan now?
Kind of I've got a new single coming out.
Oh really?
It's in 1 week.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
because I'm gonna put this out on Friday because I was supposed to have a different show on Friday, but it dropped out, and I was like, "Oh, I'll put this one out on Friday." What's that song called?
It's called "Hold Me Up." Hold Me Up, and it's about a time in my life a couple of years ago where I split up with my ex-girlfriend, but I couldn't stop myself from going back to her, kind of again and again. Afterwards and for like the year following, so it's kind of about that. The song's about like having nostalgic feelings about someone, and even though you've broken up and you dislike them, you just keep going back. So that's what it's about.
So
that's coming out in a week, and then following that in about a month and a half I want to bring out another single. So I'm still on top of it in terms of releasing.
You don't do any live streaming, do you?
I live streamed a DJ set. That was the first time. I need to get more into this live streaming stuff.
I have two minds about it. I see some people and it looks good, and it's like also, you know, I'm part of this music community where there's a bazillion musicians. And I feel like I can't pick up my phone without an alert going like, so-and-so just went live, so-and-so just went live, like 9 in the morning and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think now that we're in this situation where everyone has to do stuff digitally, it means there's a lot more people taking advantage of this stuff, which is really, really good. It means there's a lot more content out there, but it also means with that amount of content, you just can't
watch a lot more shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, the DJ set sounds cool. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I just got my decks out last week, basically last weekend, and I was playing a few tunes, and I thought, yeah, I might as well just turn my phone on, go live, and it was quite fun. So I think I'll do that again.
Cool, man. Let me ask you this. I just lost my train of thought. Sorry, I literally just had a brain fart.
No worries.
So Hold Me Up comes out next week. What day?
Yep, that's right. Wednesday, 27th.
Okay, so 1 week from today. Okay.
Yeah, 1 week from today. That'll be out on all digital platforms.
Do you master your own stuff, or do you send that off to be done by somebody?
No, I send that off to be done by someone else as well. I do. I'm quite into mastering as a concept. Like I really enjoy like reading about it, and I've done a lot of mastering myself. I've done some mastering myself for my friends and on some of their demos and tracks and stuff. So I do enjoy doing it. But I think the most important part of mastering is actually just getting someone else to put their ears on your track.
Yeah. Also, yeah. My relationship to mastering is I don't hear like that. I can't.
Yeah.
I couldn't sit in a room and I don't hear like that. I literally, like, I hear music kind of washes over me. I'm also not the very best mixer because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think my mixing is okay, but yeah, I think these days to get the sound, the kind of quality of sound that I want, I always send it off to a studio to do it. And actually, one of my friends from uni, he has his own studio now, and he's amazing.
Oh, that's
called
cool.
Newman. Yeah, it's called Newman Studios. And yeah, he's amazing. So I just send all my tracks there to be mixed these days.
That's fantastic. So you got singles coming out. Are you, do you have any idea when you're going to be, are they opening stuff back up there?
Yeah, I mean, stuff is opening up slowly, but like gig venues and clubs, pubs, they'll be the last to be open.
Yeah, you know, I thought that too, but they're opening here. Like yesterday, my band had a whole meeting about...
Oh, really?
Yeah, these are all the offers coming. We even had one for like May 30th.
Interesting. Is that just in Texas?
Well, the whole all 50 states are reopening. Texas is a little more... Texas about it. Like, you don't tell me what to do, man. I'm getting out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little... Yeah, I actually went to a place yesterday for the first time to eat at like on a patio with like a 25% capacity vibe in this little town outside of town. I thought that was safe, you know, like an hour away.
Yeah.
And the people out there, they were not having it.
Yeah.
They weren't having masks, nothing.
I mean, I saw that like in some states in America, there was people protesting about the lockdown rules, like armed militias almost.
Yes. It's a strange phenomenon we have here. You guys have militias there?
Absolutely not.
Lucky for us, they're disorganized and kind of disparate from each other. And some of them hate each other's beliefs because some of them are like white supremacists and stuff like that. But
right, okay.
I always fear that those guys are all going to overwhelm the system and and take over.
Yeah, well,
they're all the guys that beat me up in high school.
Sure. And now they're back. Now they're back to fight coronavirus.
Yeah, they're fighting it themselves. Well, man, it's been great talking to you. Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything else you want the people to know?
No, I think that's it, really. I'm on Spotify, Instagram, all the socials, etc., so people can come and find me. And that'd be cool,
MarbleEmpire.me is the place to go. It has links to everything. So
that's right.
That's a centralized location.
Yeah.
Have you been cooking?
I've been cooking a lot.
Yeah,
I have. Yeah.
Are you a good cook?
I've gotten better recently.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, I've really improved. I also realized how shitty my diet was before.
Oh, right.
Especially living in a city when I lived in London before, because there's just so much choice for takeout. I think it's improved my health being like this.
Good, man.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it's been great meeting you. Thanks so much for reaching out. You're a really great artist, and I wish you all the best. And please stay in touch. Let me know what's going on with you or if you ever come down here or something.
Yeah, thanks very much. That's really kind. This has been my first podcast
that
I've ever been on. Yeah, and it's been great, so thank you.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I listen to podcasts a lot. Yeah. Not a lot of music podcasts, but I love like the Economist. The Economist really, really interesting stuff. More things like that, kind of about world affairs, current affairs, that kind of thing.
All right.
Yeah.
I listen to people talk about weird records.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, man, Matt, it's been great meeting you. I wish you all the luck in the world. People get out there and check out Marble Empire. MarbleEmpire.me will take you to all the places that you need to go, the socials, and look for their new single next week. There, your new single next week. Hold Me Up on Wednesday, May 27th. It drops. Get out there and check it out. Dude, it's been great talking to you.
Great. Thanks very much.
All right, man.
See ya. Bye.
That's Matt Berry. Marble Empire is the name of his project. He's talking to me all the way from the UK, outside of London. Great talking to him, man. What a nice guy. Great guy, great artist, great musician. Get out there and check him out. Go to marbleempire.me And it has links to all of his socials, has links to his Spotify. You can find him on the streaming services. Great dude, talented dude, great getting to know him. Don't forget, when you're out there checking out Marble Empire ME, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you find podcasts. And don't forget, gang, you could don't forget to leave a comment and that you like it. Like, if you listen to an episode, say you like it. Leave a comment. We need that. We need to start ramping up our advertising again. I think that people are getting out and doing stuff. So we need all the likes and comments we get, okay? So whatever streaming service you're listening on, if you're listening on Stitcher, if you're listening on Apple, if you're listening on, even if you're listening on the Podbean app, or if you're listening on, oh, you can't if you're on Spotify, but share it. Let us know what you think. You can go to How Did I Get Here, which is our Facebook page, and get involved there, okay? Thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Matt for talking to me. I hope you guys are all staying safe, healthy, and sane. Don't forget that Marble Empire is dropping their brand new single this Wednesday, May 27th. Hold Me Up is the name of the song. Find them at marbleempire.me. All right, this is the rest of the song, Took My Chances. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Be safe out there. I know things are opening up, but be safe. Let's get down.
And it's too hard to see. You're no right next to me. All night, don't waste time. Let's be on a level, cause I just wanna be lost down deep in your eyes. You said I feel like the ray of the sunrise. So glad I took my chances. My chances.